Governor Walker released his plan to repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act yesterday as part of his presidential campaign, and he slipped in the polls. As he's done that, can a focus on health policy bring the attention back? Right now, it's our weekly look at the latest in national politics.
Also this week, another Democrat, Senator Bob Menendez of New Jersey, has come out against the nuclear deal with Iran as deadline closes in for a vote in Congress. And as Bernie Sanders continues to rally thousands around the country, some Clinton allies are worried that her campaign is floundering.
Joining us now is Harry Enten, senior political writer and analyst for 538. He joins us every week at this time. Harry, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back.
Well, how does Governor Walker's release of this health care plan position him now among his fellow Republican candidates?
You know, Scott Walker came into this campaign as a candidate with a lot of promise. Somebody who had a conservative record, had won in a blue state 3 times in 4 years, and the result of this campaign has been anything but great for him. He's fallen in the polls in Iowa, as you alluded to, and he's somebody who needs to get back on track. And one of the reasons that he's fallen is there doesn't seem to be anything there. You know, you have this great record, but then you come out on the campaign trail, and it's a lot of blah. It sort of reminds me of, in some ways, of John Glenn in 84 for the Democrats, who had this great resume, and then he just started talking, and everyone went, what's going on here? So Walker is trying to adjust to the realities on the ground, and one of the knocks against him being that he really didn't have much of, you know, a policy and was able to articulate that. Here he comes as the first person, health care, a big deal in the Republican primary, very anti-Obamacare audience that you're dealing with. So this is something where he's going to try and get back on track. Will it work or not? We can't be sure. But we do know that there are already some complaints from some Republicans about this plan, from Rick Perry's campaign and from Bobby Jindal's campaign. But whether or not actual Republican voters are going to see this as a bad thing or a good thing, we don't know. But you know what? It can't get any worse for him at this point as he's falling, so it can only get better.
There's a lot of hot-button issues out there right now for the debate. Why did Governor Walker choose health care, do you think?
I think he probably chose health care because, number one, it's a domestic issue that, you know, Walker can speak to. It's not foreign policy. It's somewhat more in his wheelhouse. It's also one in which you can really put a real prescription for what you're going to do. You know, when it comes to the economy, you could say that, oh, we're going to go X and X percentage growth. But it's very difficult for a president to actually control the state of the economy. Foreign policy, it's also very difficult. There's a lot of, you know, moving parts in it. While health care is something where you have one real issue where you can really concentrate on, it's Obamacare. That's what the Republican audience wants to hear about. And Walker or any other Republican come out with one plan, sort of a one-size-fits-all.
Is this a sign that the Affordable Care Act and health care in general are going to be big in the 2016 presidential election, or is this just sort of the first thing out of the gate right now?
I think health care is going to be big, at least on the Republican side. You know, if you look at the polls, what are the most important issues? Obviously, the economy is number one. Foreign policy, terrorism is number two. But health care is actually number three. It tends to rank ahead of where immigration is for most Republican voters, which is very interesting. You wouldn't necessarily expect that. But health care is a very important issue to Republican primary voters. So it's not really much of a surprise to me that that's going to be, you know, the issue that Walker wants to go out on and be strong on. It's an issue that Republican voters care about. And if you can be the candidate of, you know, the anti-Obamacare candidate, it's a very, very good position to be in a Republican primary.
We're talking to Harry Enten right now, senior political writer and analyst for 538. We're getting the latest from the campaign trail in national politics. Iowa State Fair just happened. We've had a lot of visuals, pictures, videos, candidates eating things like pork chops on a stick. So what's the significance of the Iowa State Fair? Why does it matter, or does it matter?
Well, I'll tell you, there are not very many kosher people there, that's for sure. But I would say that this is just a type of thing that's kind of fun for the candidates to come out. They get their name out. They get some good press in Iowa, obviously, the Iowa caucus being the first contest in the primary season. Whether anyone actually remembers what happened this past weekend or this past week in Iowa, who really knows? You know, in the past, you had the Iowa straw poll, which sort of had limited the number of candidates if you had done poorly in that contest. And you were supposed to do well, you might drop out of the race. Tim Pawlenty in 2011 comes to mind. Tommy Thompson in 2007 comes to mind. But for what this actually means for the campaign, I don't really think it means very much of anything. I think it's interesting to see, you know, some of the candidates who got larger crowds than others. You know, and some people's speeches were better received than others. But in terms of the long-term effects, I think it's just something, it's just good summer fun and a way to drive up your cholesterol level.
Is it also a chance to get out there and appear one of the people to get your folksiness out there?
I mean, sure, you know, oh, I'm going to go eat a corn dog, or oh, I'm going to eat, you know, something deep fried inside of something else deep fried. I mean, yeah, I mean, but these are politicians. Most of these people are relatively well off. You know, I don't think that people are necessarily fooled, but it's just a good chance for politicians to get their names out in the news, presidential candidates to get their names out in the news, and for voters to see them up close and to say, you know, this is the reason why Iowa's the first in the nation. We get to touch them, get to hear them. It's a nice thing for Iowa. It's a nice thing for the candidates, but its long-term effects, not very much, in my opinion.
Let's talk about Hillary Clinton for a bit. There's been some frustration among her allies, it sounds like, over the way that she seems to be handling concerns and questions over her private email server. And one question is, I mean, this story has lingered for weeks. It broke weeks and weeks ago, and it's still lingering. Has she mishandled it? Did it have to linger for this long?
You know, I think that there's going to be a critic for every occasion. You know, if this were the 2008 Hillary Clinton campaign, they would have been smashing it. They would have been bashing the media. They would have been out in front. You know, there would have been a lot of drama. There would have been a lot of action. And then this time around, you see the exact opposite. There's not a lot of drama. There's not a lot of action. It sounds a lot more like, say, no drama Obama of 2007, 2008. Remember, Obama actually won the primary and became the nominee and eventual president. So, you know, I don't know if there's necessarily a correct way to handle these types of things. What I can say is that, sure, there are some people that, you know, believe she's not handling this correctly. But keep in mind that Hillary Clinton is still well ahead of her pace, you know, in the Iowa caucus. She's, you know, polling near 50%. There was a CNN poll last week that had her right about that level. She was only polling about half that percentage in 2007 at this particular point in time. She's well ahead of her pace there. She's ahead of her pace now. She's ahead of her pace pretty much everywhere, except for maybe New Hampshire. But even there, she's still a few points ahead if you take an average of the polls. So she's doing pretty well. It's not that she's doing terribly. She's doing worse than perhaps she was a few months ago, but she's still in a good position. And that's why I think you're seeing that this no drama, as the campaign ramps up and the other candidates start to get attention. Remember, the reason that that Clinton's doing poorly is she has all this media focus on her. Once the media starts looking at other people, say Bernie Sanders, who actually never, you know, was a Democratic nominee for Senate or for the House, or at least not as his main party, the problems of other candidates will come out.
And just briefly, Harry, as we get ready to wrap up here, Senator Bob Menendez coming out against the Obama administration's nuclear deal with Iran. The Republicans are getting closer in the Senate than to their goal. How do you weigh this one?
I mean, this isn't hugely surprising. I mean, Menendez has for months been saying that he would potentially be against this deal. And, you know, a lot of this opposition is coming from Democratic opposition is coming from the New York, New Jersey region, which has a lot of Jewish American voters. But just today, Joe Donnelly, who is a very moderate Democrat from the state of Indiana, Democratic senator, came out for the deal. So to me, you know, even there are a bunch of people who are coming out against it. You get guys like Donnelly or Steve Cohn from Tennessee, who was thought of being a swing voter among the Democrats, coming out for the deal. I just don't see how it's going to get derailed.
Well, Harry, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
That was Harry Enten, senior political writer and analyst for 538. He joins us every week at this time for the latest in national politics.